center ice. Slavin, oh, he's hit hard by Bennett, knocked down. Canadians turn it back. Shaw right circle. Galchenyuk scores! Tic-tac-toe, Lekkonen to Shaw to Galchenyuk to the net, and it's 1-0 Montreal. Back door, Teravainen waits, gives it to Falk. He'll feed it over. The Hurricanes getting set up. Teravainen to the net, they score! Lindholm! And Falk rips it up the boards. And now Stempniak cuts to the slot, he scores! A nice backhand there by Lee Stempniak. It appeared to take Price by surprise. It was a good shot, and it's 2-1 Carolina. And I don't think Carey Price saw that until the last second. 5 minutes gone here in the third. 2-1 Carolina. They're coming again. Skinner waits up front. They score. Stempniak with his second. And it's 3-1 Hurricanes. And that's a nice pass by Jeff Skinner.
La troisième étoile, the third star, Jeff Skinner. La deuxième étoile, the second star, Justin Falk. Et la première étoile, the first star, Lee Stempniak.
Welcome back. Hour number three, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick along with Mitch Gallo, Dave Trentadue in for Rod Francis. Meanwhile,
Crosby moving in. Save is made by Condon. Ottawa comes back to win it in the shootout.
Mike Condon with some tremendous patience in the Ottawa net, Dean, and he got the right blocker up, squeezed that puck underneath the armpit, and prevents Sidney Crosby from sending this to an extra shot, and Ottawa comes from behind to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 2-1. The gap is now one between Montreal and Ottawa in the Atlantic Division.
Here we go. It's deja vu all over again prior to the Habs Senators matchup tomorrow night. Remember what their captain said after the second of back-to-back losses last Sunday night.
I still think that, we learned a great deal from it. And again, we know they're a good team. They prove to us this weekend they're a good team. And again, we're going to play them one more time. And we're going to keep, moving forward and improving our game. And hopefully by next Saturday, we have something new to throw at them.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Dagwood's Bab Sandwich. Ham and pepperoni dressed like you like it. Now only $7 for a large at Dagwood's.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
Excellent, Mitch. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's Friday. It's like time never happened. The Canadians lead the Senators by 1 point prior to their matchup tomorrow night.
Well, first of all, you got to give Ottawa some credit here.
100%, you got to give them credit. 100%.
Yeah, they went into Boston and won in a really tough game. That was Craig Anderson's win all the way, but the guys still had to score, and they did. And last night, I know you played the highlight of Condon's save on Crosby, but the real job by Condon in overtime, the save on Kunitz, was insane. I don't know how he even thought to do that with his stick. So Ottawa's finding a way. They're very well coached. And here's the difference. Claude Julien is a great coach. Do not get me wrong. Guy Boucher has been with that team since the summertime. Claude Julien had just got to Montreal. There's one team that's got a system in place, the other team that's working on their system. There's a difference.
Well, I mean, right now, we'll take any opponent. I think we have to understand that we have to be better. You know, those last two games, and then yesterday mostly, was disappointing, as we said last night. We need to be a lot better.
Clearly, as the fan base and some media people debate the true meaning of these two losses, there's no way you could look, especially at last night's game, although we pointed out Carolina's been playing good hockey. They are not an easy out, but you're in home ice. You should be in playoff mode. You swept the Senators. You need to be a little hungrier than the Canadians were certainly last night.
That was not one of their better games, but I don't panic with games like that. But I also know there's a lot of teachable moments from that. And the number one thing is effort right from the start. The glorifying moment is the Galchenyuk goal. The rest of the game is a mail-in. There was not much there last night. And Eddie Lack, who about a month ago his coach was saying wasn't ready to play in the NHL, only had to face 22 shots. That's not good enough. So they know that. They'll adjust. But the players have to want to play every night. Can't do that now. Now No more of those free passes. You can't do it anymore.
I think for us, our biggest worry and concern is making sure we're playing with the same effort every night. And I don't think we had our best yesterday, and it's got to get back to where it was. I thought on the weekend it was desperate hockey, and that's the way we need to play again tomorrow.
All right, that is Shea Weber, and he's 100%. I think we all know what he's saying there. Is it a long season? Is it a grind? It is a letdown after an emotional weekend, not taking opponents as seriously as they ought to, considering the lateness of the date here, or what?
I think it's a combination of all those things. Sometimes teams get comfy and they get cozy, and part of why they get comfy cozy is everybody tells them how great they are. So beating Ottawa, which is not an easy team to play, and beating them twice, everybody starts telling the players, oh, this is great, you guys got it nailed, you're this good. They never left home. They stayed in Montreal, and Montreal, when you're winning, is a pretty darn good place to be. And so they get a little comfortable, they get cozy, and they get in trouble. You can't do that. Just can't do that.
So the Shaw, Lakin, and Galchenyuk trio clicked. Even before they scored, Galchenyuk had a tremendous chance. Derek yep. Ryan came to the rescue, and then he finished off that 2-1. Lakin had some chances from in tight. So that was good. That was certainly a positive. But between Radulov and Pacioretty, they were nowhere last night. That was a terrible performance by the so-called top line. And people are starting to wonder about Radulov, Pierre. You know, he hasn't been the same since he got hurt. And we don't know if he's still a little banged up, he's a little rusty, or there are some of the belief that if you look at his last 15 games, 12 of them he hasn't hit the score sheet, that maybe he was just a 60-game-a-season player coming out of the KHL.
No, I'm not going to go there, but he's getting older. It's definitely a different grind here compared to the KHL because there's physicality in this league that there isn't in big ice hockey. So, no, I'm not prepared to go there. I still think he's an amazing talent, and I give the Canadians full marks for bringing him over. But now, hopefully, people will start to see why I said right from the start, don't go longer than 5 years. And even then, I wouldn't be prepared to go longer now. I mean, I was more for the four-year deal, and I think you know that, Mitch. But this is what happens. It's a hard league. This league's never been harder to play in. I can tell you that right now. It's never been harder to play in.
Radulov was asked specifically about that factor right now, this deep into the season, the possible fatigue.
It's not like it's tired. It's just it's hard to play like all the games on the same kind of level, you know. But like I said, you have to put all the efforts.
All right, so we have seen Radulov at his strongest most of the year. He's passionate, he's driven, he's one of the most energetic guys on the ice, and that's the guy that's missing right now. There are other veteran players, Pierre, you know that, especially defensemen. They can pace themselves over the 82-game grind, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I watch a lot of really good players in this league that can pace themselves because they're playing a different position. You play forward in this league, it's a 200-foot game, and it's a grind. And that's why those top centermen are so hard to find. That's why it's so hard to find, you know, guys that are 40-plus goal scorers today. There's a lot of different demands on players today that there weren't in other years, and the pace is just so extreme. It's just so extreme. It's amazing. It really is.
Pierre, the other guy who it hasn't been going well for is Radulov's line mate, Pacioretty, and when they're a trio, Galchenyuk, Pacioretty, and Radulov, it wasn't working. How long do you think they should continue playing Radulov and Pacioretty together before they have to separate the two to see which one of the two is actually the one causing the struggles?
I wouldn't go much past this weekend. See how it goes against Ottawa on Saturday night. You know, you got home ice. You should be a mad team. You should be an angry team. You're playing against a team that clearly everybody knows is a good team. Ottawa's a good team. Mitch Melnyk, how long have I been telling you Ottawa's a dark horse in the Eastern Conference? Long time?
Several months.
They're good. I'm just warning you. They're really good. And if the Canadians aren't prepared to play, that's a problem. And then maybe they do need to change up the lines. But I would give it tomorrow night and see how they play. Because I think Montreal, if they keep them together at some point, that will start to click.
I can't be changing things at every game, because then there is no stability. And the rotation in the bottom, as much as, you know, it's a rotation, that's the last thing that's hurt us. Every time guys have been in and out on that fourth line, they've done a good job. So I think it's good to know that you have players that can step in and do a job any night, on any night. So that's a positive for me.
Yeah, what Julian needs to find, and he said it last night, it's his job as coach, is to find some chemistry, not on the fourth line. He's got it. He's not worried about those guys. McCarron was terrific last night. But it's the top guys that you're counting on to create some offense. There are too many blanks being fired. Pierre, I wanted Dave to get in here because he's filled in for Rod, who's been ailing, and he's been doing a lot of listening, and I know he's got at least something for you.
Yeah, I just want to know if you're concerned about the face-off dot for the Montreal Canadiens going into the playoffs. I think they were like 21 for 60 yesterday, and Thomas Plekanec in particular was 2 for 16. Do you see that being an issue for the Canadiens?
I do, Dave. You know, we talked about it last week coming out of the weekend series with Ottawa. On Saturday night, Montreal wasn't particularly good in Ottawa. They were better on Sunday, but they still gave up a goal off a faceoff on Sunday, which can't happen, and that was Galchenyuk losing the draw clean. So they need to be better in faceoffs. There's no question, especially in the playoffs. Obviously, depending on who you play, but some teams are better than others, but faceoffs are critically important in any hockey, but in particular in playoff hockey.
Now, you mentioned the matchup with Ottawa tomorrow night. How much of a factor?
We all know who he is, and the guy is just a whiner beyond belief. And, you know, you do this kind of stuff. I don't care who you are in the league. I don't care if you're the number one player in the league. You should sit out a long time for this kind of crap.
There's Eugene Melnyk on our sister station in Ottawa, of course, complaining about Sidney Crosby after Mark Methot had his finger. It almost looked like his finger was sliced off completely, and he's out for weeks. He logged so much ice time. How much of a factor is that down the stretch here for Ottawa?
Well, first of all, Mark Methot is a gentleman and a real thoughtful guy, and I hope he's feeling better. He's a very good player. And somebody that goes back to 2005 playing against Crosby, he was part of the London Knights team that beat the Rimouski Oceanic. I was there watching it, and I don't think Mr. Melnyk was there, but I can tell you that was as barbaric a performance as I've ever seen in terms of skill, but also physical aggression towards a player on the opposition. The London Knights did a number on Crosby, and he didn't complain. I understand where Mr. Melnick's coming from, because obviously it's an important player from his team. But I would say that that deserved nothing more than a penalty. That should have been a penalty in the game. That play in particular happens all the time. I'm down there at ice level. You guys utilize their stick as a defensive weapon, but not so much as a weapon to try to injure guys. I mean, that's when people call slashes. I didn't see that as an attempt to injure. I don't think, in fact, I really praise the Ottawa Senator players. I thought they handled it magnificently post-game. You didn't hear anybody saying that about Crosby. You said that's a play. You heard them say that.
Hold on, Pierre.
That happens a lot.
Let's hear from their captain, Erik Karlsson, on that.
It's kind of a misplay a bit. He puts his stick in his hands, but Method's trying to shoot the puck in, and unfortunately it hits his finger. And, you know, it turns worse than, you know, most of the time. It's plays like that happen all the time, but worst case scenario. But no, I don't think that it was intentional or dirty in any way.
There's what you were talking about, right?
Well, it wasn't just him. I think everybody knows that listens to this. I'm a huge fan of Erik Karlsson. Go back to the day he was drafted. He still remembers it. I said he was the ultimate climber in the league coming out of Frölunda. He's a gentleman. He's a great player. He's somebody every organization in the league would love to have. He's telling the truth. But, again, when you're down there every day, like players are or coaches are or trainers are, you know he didn't do that on purpose. He didn't try to injure Mark Methot. It's an unfortunate thing. Stuff happens down there. I mean, when Johnny Gaudreau got hurt and Erik Staal came up on an innocuous play and got him in the hand with a stick, everybody in the league knew. He didn't do that on purpose. He's not trying to injure Johnny Gaudreau. Stuff happens. It just happens. But again, I'm not trying to defend Mr. Melnyk, but I would tell you this. He cares about his team. He knows how important Methot is. But I'm not sure that going after Crosby for that one was, you know, on the mark.
Well, and look, how many times has that happened to Crosby himself carrying the puck in any given night?
Well, that's why I brought up the 2005 Memorial Cup. if anybody's listening to the show that was there or watched it on TV, they know exactly. So Mathot was part of that London team, and I'm not, listen, that's a long time ago. Sidney Crosby, we've been through a lot since then. So is Mark Mathot. If I had a team, I'd want Mark Mathot and Sidney Crosby on my team. I respect both men that much. But stuff happens in the game. I just,
all right.
Crosby gets more, Crosby probably gets more abuse physically than any player in the league.
Okay, but how does this affect Ottawa down the stretch here? No Mark Mathot.
It does. It affects them. This is where, you know, they don't have a lot of pure depth at that position. Borowiecki's probably going to get additional minutes. Phaneuf will probably get more minutes. You made the great point about Carlson. I wouldn't be giving Carlson many more. They cut him less than 30 last night, which was good in a very difficult game. But it hurts them. Mark Mathot is an important part of that team, I can tell you right now. And it's not just what he does on the ice. He's a leader off the ice. He's a championship kind of a guy. He really is.
All right, so while a lot of Canadian fans are they're more than a little uptight, and Gallo's refrain is, since the game ended last night, he's been telling people to chill out.
It's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world. Although, if you look out your window right now, like, we got blowing snow accumulating at a very rapid rate, so this is not cool, whatever it is, but it's not the end of the world. How about being, and we keep mentioning this because you keep expecting them to turn it around, the Bruins are barely hanging on right now.
What was bizarro about that game, I know you had a game going on in Montreal. The Bruins got a 1-0 lead. Tampa tied it within a minute. The Bruins got a 2-1 lead. Tampa tied it within a minute. The Bruins got a 3-2 lead. Tampa tied it within a minute and 30 seconds. I haven't seen that from the Boston Bruins ever in my career, ever. Even when they were a bad team in the mid-90s, I never saw that. It was, and plus it was in Boston. It was bizarro world. Now, I don't know what happened on their penalty kill, but Nikita Kucherov has one spot. He's a left-hand shot that likes to go on the right-hand side of the ice and drill one-timers. He had a hat trick last night. I'm not sure the Bruins got the memo. Like, nobody tried to take away his shooting avenues. Nobody. That's the number. When you play Tampa Bay without Stamkos there, you cannot let Kucherov have an open avenue to the net. Impossible.
So the Islanders play tonight, Pierre, in Pittsburgh, and Yaro Halak is getting the start. You know, good things happened 7 years ago, right, in Pittsburgh for Yaro Halak in the springtime. And then the Islanders have two games in hand over Boston, so that's one of them tonight. And then the two teams meet each other tomorrow in Brooklyn.
Yeah, this is a huge. That's why that Ranger game was so critically important for the Islanders on Wednesday night, the game that they won when they were down in the game 2-1. They came back and won 3-2. This game tonight is going to be interesting because the Penguins lost last night in Ottawa. They traveled. They'll probably be an angry team. They're eight regulars. This is a thing that I don't think people are talking about. They're eight regular guys that aren't in the lineup for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Players like Brian Rust, players like Olli Maatta, players like Trevor Daley, players like Christopher Letang, players like Evgeny Malkin. They're eight, Ron Hainsey. They're eight guys, eight regular guys out of the lineup. So if the Islanders are going to jump on it, they better jump on it tonight because they're not going to get easier for them tomorrow when they play Boston. This is the Islanders' opportunity.
Yeah, did you learn anything from the Washington-Columbus game other than Sergei Bobrovsky might be stealing the Vezina away from Devan Dubnyk?
Well, he, first of all, he was really good last night. That was a good hockey game. Columbus had played the night before and lost to Toronto. Washington was fresh. I learned that they're both really similar type teams. Physicality, if they ever played in a playoff series, that would rival as physical a series as I've seen since 2005. So I think it would be a real nasty series if they ever hooked up.
Well, if Washington remains in first place, Pierre, I'm thinking about, you know, the Crosby stuff that we're talking about before, how much fun it would be to watch, you know, Dubinsky and Columbus go at Pittsburgh in a 7-game series. At one point separates those two teams right now. How important do you think home ice would be between Columbus and Pittsburgh?
Gigantic. I did it the last time they played in the series. Pittsburgh was life and death to beat Columbus, and eventually they lost to the Rangers. And the coach lost his job, the assistants lost their job, and the manager lost his job. So I can tell you that it would be very difficult.
That is, I think they're the best
home ice.
I think they're the best home ice team in the league. But I think
they're so good on home ice. Yeah. So it makes a big difference.
All right.
Really big but I just want to say this with respect to Columbus. Columbus, from the start of the year, has really started to build a brand and an identity. They push the pace in the back end. They roll four lines. They have guys that are not shy. Dubinsky's clearly elevated his play. Their goalie is world-class, but they are a rugged, robust, nasty team to play against. They're good. They're really good.
Just a couple of more, finishing up with Pierre McGuire for another week on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Coming up in a couple of minutes, a chance to win our final pair of tickets to Expos Fest. Getting close. Sunday, April 2nd, all day, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Plaza Centreville. The Leafs over the Devils in the second of a back-to-back. They are starting to open up some space between themselves and the second wildcard team. Right now, as I mentioned, it's the Bruins hanging on. Assuming nobody gets hurt between now and the end of the season, how difficult will Toronto be in the first round?
Hard. It depends on Freddie Anderson, because they're going to give up chances. Their defense just isn't that good. And I don't think Mike wants to turn them into a passive resistance team. That's just not going to be their IQ and their identity going forward. They can't think that way. They got to think aggressive. So I don't think Mike wants to change them out of that. So I would say that if Freddie Anderson's on it, their offense will definitely be on it, and that'll be problematic for the opposition. But you'll get chances against them, and then it comes down to how's Anderson going to play.
Well, it's pretty simple. I guess I'm like everybody else. I don't like to lose. Last night was a game that I was disappointed because we didn't play well. I said it last night. You can lose games during the season because you can't win 82 games. But, how you lose them is what matters to me.
All right, Pierre. So how do the Canadians respond tomorrow night at home?
Us coaches all think the same way. It's funny, isn't it? It's crazy. I think Montreal will respond well, but I also think Ottawa will respond well. I think you're going to see, of the three games that they will have played in a week, probably tomorrow night will be the best and probably the most like a really intense, nasty playoff series, just based on everything that you can kind of gather. There's a lot of emotion in the Ottawa camp, obviously, because of what happened to Mathot. There's a lot of emotion in the Montreal camp because of probably the last two games. They weren't particularly good against Detroit, and they were not good last night against Carolina. So I think you're going to see all kinds of, fun. Let's put it that way, Mitch, fun.
Another spring fun Saturday night at the Bell Center. Habs and Senators right here on TSN 690. Campbell and Gallo get things started with Habs Hot Topic Radio.
Habs Hot Topic Radio tomorrow from 3 to 5, yeah.
And then the Habs this week, right, from the Irish
Embassy? Irish Embassy pregame show.
Yeah, and don't forget, coming up in about 20 minutes, the debut of the Angry Gallo Rant Line right here on TSN 690. Pierre, thanks for another great week. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll do it again on Monday.
Thanks a lot, my friend. Hey, Mitch Gallo, what do you got on your rant? Can you share that?
Well, the rant, Pierre, is the people who have called me. They're angry, and I'm going to try to settle them down.
I love it. That's good.
550. Well done.